about the importance position that we have in our family, the importance position that we have as a child of the King, as a child of God, the important position that you and I have as being a part of the family of God. All those are really important. And we know that when you look at the world, when you talk to people, there are many people continually desire to belong to something bigger than themselves. They desire to belong to a family that's bigger than themselves. And they desire to have intimacy with other people. And some writers write some interesting things concerning the desire to belong. One author said, "We all long for something." One author wrote, "I don't remember the season. I just remember walking between them and feeling for the first time I belonged somewhere." It's interesting when you hear people come into the body of Christ, when you hear people come in, and I've heard them come into this fellowship before, and they told me after the first time they came in here that they knew that they were home, that this is where they belonged. This was their home. And that's an important sense to be able to have, knowing that you belong, knowing that you are someone who is a part of something bigger than themselves. By Bell Hooks, and she wrote All About Love. "A generous heart is always open, always ready to receive our going and coming. In the midst of such love, we need never fear abandonment. This is the most precious gift true love offers, the experience of knowing we always belong." That speaks to us about family. And we talked about the definition of family, and we certainly spoke about how it's different than just a natural family, than just being related by blood. We talked about how important covenant relationship. We talked about how a covenant relationship means that we are connected with something far bigger than ourselves, but also a part far bigger than our natural family life. Family often means those who have come together and have like values. And when it comes to a body of believers, we want to declare that we have like faith. In other words, we basically believe the same thing. Oh yeah, sure, we have some differences on or how we would believe in certain areas, but basically, for the most part, we believe the same thing. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that he rose again, that he died, he rose again, and is now at the right hand of the Father interceding for you and I. So we have this similar belief that we believe the same thing. And when we come together, we don't have to worry about somebody who is talking about going in a totally different direction. We talked about how it's good to know one another so that when we pray, when we get into spiritual battle, we know who the people are around us. We know who is going to war with us. In other words, they are capable soldiers as well. And of course, we belong to a huge family. Just some of the things that I want to share with you this morning about the awesomeness about the family that we belong to. Think of who our Father is. Think of who we declare is our Father. Jesus declared that he is our elder brother. And he said, "I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." He included us in the family. He included you and I as being a blood relationship, a blood covenant partner with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's awesome. And our Father is one who meets all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He has a desire to meet our needs. He hasn't got us around just to serve him and to meet his needs. That's not what it's about. The Father is the one who pours out to his children everything that we need. And he has this awesome compulsion on the inside of him to be able to supply every need that we could ever need. That's an awesome thing to know about your Father. He's a wonderful God. We are in this position in the family of God where we can know that he is the one that is looking after us and empowers us to live for Jesus. But you must see yourself in the family. You must see yourself as Jesus being your elder brother. You must see yourself as God being our Father. And you must see yourself in a way that goes beyond mere head knowledge, because we can know from Scripture that we're part of the family of God. But do we sense that we have a father who loves us and cares about us? Do we sense that we belong to the body of Christ? I heard this saying, anyone who constantly feels that he's not on the inside will never be on the inside. In other words, you must have a sense of belonging. You must have a sense of being on the in with God. Do you see yourself as God's favorite? I do. I see myself as God's favorite. And I know that anybody can experience that favoritism from God if they'll just believe it. You know, you can say that too. I believe I'm God's favorite. In other words, I believe God has a mountain of favorites. I mean, he has a world of people that he says, you're my favorites. I love you all. I love you so much, each and every one of you. But you must enter in by faith in order to experience that. I want to read a few scriptures, and I like to take time to go through a few scriptures because that's what we base everything on, isn't it? We base everything on the Word of God, the Word empowered by the Holy Spirit. Just a few this morning. Luke 15:31 speaks to us about how the Father looks at us as part of his family. You know, this is talking about the story of the prodigal son. When the prodigal son comes home, the father enters, embraces him and has a party for him, has a wonderful celebration for him. And, of course, the elder brother gets all upset because he thought he was an outsider. He thought he had to do something special in order to get what his father already was offering to him. And of course, when his younger brother came back and his father gave him a celebration, the elder brother felt jaded because the father was blessing the one who came home. Do you ever feel jaded when somebody else gets blessed and you feel like you're left behind? Honestly now, think about it. Do you ever feel jaded when somebody gets promoted within a job and you're left behind? Do you ever feel like you're kind of put out? And I believe we all go through that and we all have to deal with that kind of stuff. That's what this elder brother felt. He felt jaded because suddenly his younger brother, whom he didn't like, who came back and the father was showing more love on him than what he felt from the father. But because of his reactions to the father's pouring out his love upon his younger brother, his reactions really revealed his own heart, that he didn't feel loved himself. He didn't feel like the father was willing to give him all that he had. And of course, the father had to express it. I'm sure the father did some things in the past that showed him that all that he had was his, but he didn't get it. He didn't get it. Why? Because he was feeling jaded because the father was showing love to somebody else. You know, I really feel that that's something that the body of Christ has to really work at, that when we see expressions of love towards somebody else, we kind of think, well, why couldn't that be toward me? Deep down on the inside. You know what that's called? It's called jealousy. And it shouldn't be a part of the body of Christ, especially when you and I have such a wonderful position in the Lord. The Father says, all that I have is yours. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's the Father's desire to give us all things. It's the Father's desire to pour himself out unto us that we might be lacking nothing. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Verse 10, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete in Christ. He has made you complete in Christ. You can come before the Father knowing that there is nothing lacking in you that would inhibit me from coming to my Heavenly Father. We are complete in him. The only thing that could ever be a wedge between us and the Father is something that's already been paid for, and that is sin. So if you and I are in a place of sin and that is a wedge between us and the Father, that's already been paid for. All we have to do is make our claim upon the payment, which is repent and call on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come boldly before the throne of grace to find grace and help in time of need. Praise the Lord. What a position you and I have in the kingdom of God. You are complete in him. Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. The Bible says that Jesus has disarmed principalities and powers. In other words, he's disarmed your enemy. He has disarmed the one who could before come at you in different ways that he can now. You see, now he can only come at us with temptation. He can tempt us into doing the wrong thing. And it's up to us whether we actually fall to the temptation or not. He has actually disarmed the enemy as we stand against him by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power in his word. Now notice in Colossians 3:9, speaking to the body of Christ now, do not lie to one another, since, this is your position now, since you have put off the old man with its deeds. You have put off the old man. In other words, the one who was not born again, the one who is living for the enemy, the one who did not consider the things of God. So you do not lie to one another. So lying to one another would be an action of the old man. Since you had put off, that word put off in the Greek is the exact same word in what we read in the previous verse in Colossians 2:15, that he has disarmed principalities and powers. So the Apostle Paul here, by the Holy Spirit, is saying to us that we are to disarm the old man. Disarm the one who wants to live in a worldly or carnal or fleshly way. What I mean by that is we disarm that notion on the inside of us that desires to go some way other than God's way. Some way to constantly pamper the flesh, you might say. Do whatever the flesh wants. Watch whatever the flesh wants. Eat whatever the flesh wants. You know, everything that the flesh wants to do. And I know, I don't know about you, but if I let this flesh rule me, it'll run away and do some really ungodly things. But the scripture says that you and I are to disarm the old man. In other words, do you ever watch a show, or especially the old Westerns, when somebody was capturing somebody else, the first thing you want to do is disarm them. Why do you want to disarm? You want to disarm so he can't hurt you. Well, it's the same thing with our old man on the inside of us. We want to disarm them so that they can't hurt us. And the way we do that is don't give ourselves over to temptation. Stay far away from it. Let me just give you an example of that. Most of us use computers today. Most of us are on the internet today. But have you ever, and I'm sure lots of us, probably all of us, have seen on the sidebar come up sometimes a caption or a photo or a pop-up that will try to get us to go to a certain site, and it might be attempting to lead us to a pornography site or some other site that we shouldn't go to. And when we look at that, and some of it can be real enticing, and you know the first click is not going to bring you right into the very core of it, but it will bring you a little bit deeper into it. Well, my philosophy is, as soon as you see that, you don't go near it right from the very beginning. As soon as you see it, you don't, because if you go a little bit further, the temptation will become a little bit stronger, and you'll go a little bit deeper. So soon as you see that, you get away from it. You don't go there. You pull yourself way back from it. You go to a movie, you see a movie that's advertised in television or wherever, and you see that there are some things in it that you don't think are really in line with the kingdom of God, and there'd be some scenes in it that you don't really like, and you look at that, you have to make a choice. Am I going to go there because I really want to hear the story? But there's just a little bit of pornography in it. There's just a little bit of stuff that's in it. Well, that kind of reminds me about the time this young man, or this father, had three little girls, and they wanted to go to this particular movie. And there was something in it that wasn't right. And they said, yeah, but Dad, there's only a small little bit of it that's wrong. And he said, well, let me think about it. That afternoon, he decided to make the kids a batch of cookies. And he made these beautiful cookies that the girls all loved. When they were all done, he said, okay, girls, I got some beautiful plate of cookies for you, and come and have some. I want to tell you first, though, there's a, you know, our little rabbit out in the backyard, there's just a couple of little turds in there of rabbits. But it's only just a tiny little bit. You won't even notice it. It won't bother you a bit. Go ahead. There they are. I only put one in the whole batch. And they looked at it and they first said, you're kidding, right? No, no. They wouldn't eat it. But how we make excuses for a spiritual expression, how we make excuses for something that we want to go that will poison us just as much, actually worse from a spiritual perspective than a natural perspective. No, disarm that old man so he can't get a hold of you, so he can't harm you. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's your position. God has brought us back to life. Ephesians 2:6, God has brought us back to life together with Christ and has given us a position in heaven with him. Glory to God. That's your position. You have a position in heaven with him. I'm going to read real quickly. You can study these scriptures out on your own. Ephesians 3:10, to the intent that now the manifold, listen to this, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So it is the position of the church to make known the wisdom and the mysteries and the secrets of God to the principalities and powers in the spiritual realm. Wow. That's a high position. God has given you and I an awesome position. He wants us to be raised up to be a people who will be so after God's heart and so in tune with him that we will be able to declare the kingdom of God has come upon the earth, and we are declaring to the principalities and powers, that's spiritual rulers that rule over regions, that have dominion over regions, and just like PEI, there is a spiritual principality and power, a demonic spiritual principality and power that tries to persuade us to go a certain way, that tries to persuade us to accept things of the enemy, and God has given us a responsibility to speak and declare to those principalities and powers that the kingdom of God has come to Prince Edward Island. Praise God. We are to decree that and declare it, and when we come together, we declare that corporately, and when we come together corporately, we have much greater authority. You might say, well, Pastor, I'm just trying to live my life. I'm just trying to get through my day. I'm just trying to raise my family, and I can't even think about principalities and powers and all the rest of it. Well, maybe you cannot. Maybe you're just going through trying to hold your family together and get through one day at a time. Well, I'm telling you, when we come together, you receive more authority to be able to speak to your family situation. You do. Take your position of authority and be able to declare, surely you can believe that you have authority over your own household. Well, speak to any spiritual force that your household is under. Speak to that thing. If you see that it's not of God, demand it to leave in the name of Jesus and declare that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Declare that often over your house. Amen. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and of the faith of Jesus. Now think of this for a moment. They keep the commandments of God and of the faith of Jesus. You see, the faith that you and I are to operate in is not my faith. It is the faith of Jesus. You see, the connection that you and I have with Jesus, the relationship that we have with him, determines the degree of Jesus' faith that will be released in us. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 says, have faith in God, but the literal translation is, most scholars will translate it this way, the literal translation is, have the faith of God. Or have the God kind of faith. You see, you and I are put in a class, the same class as God. And we're not gods. Jesus is God, was God, is God, always will be God. But you and I are humans. but he has put within us an ability to function in the God kind of faith who calls things that are not as though they were. Now, by grace we have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You see, the faith that we came to Christ with is actually a gift of God. So if that was a gift of God, we must realize that any faith that we exercise in order to see people healed, it is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. We have this position of faith, but we must act out our position of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I have believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we speak." What do we speak? Well, we speak what we believe. We speak what we believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is in the heart. Mark 11, verse 23. "He who says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says." Faith in the heart. I heard Derek Prince say this recently, or of course, Derek Prince has gone to heaven, but I heard a teaching by him recently, or read a teaching by him recently, and he said, faith is of the heart, hope is of the head. It's important to keep your hope fixed on that which you are desiring. Your head is fixed on that which you're desiring. You get in agreement with what you desire, but it is faith in the heart that brings it to pass. You are in a position of having God's faith resting on the inside of you. The God kind of faith, I should say, resting on the inside of you. Rob Parker's a friend of Debbie and I, Rob and Fran Parker, and I was talking to him recently, and he told me this story, which it's a great story. And their son, Robbie Jr., him and his wife, Brandy, were praying and believing God for a child for years. They had a number of miscarriages, and they were getting on well into their 30s. But they had a wonderful baby girl born about 6 months ago. And they were so excited about that. And they just absolutely thrilled of this wonderful child. Well, not long after, they had the child at the doctor, and they told them that the child has scoliosis. That's a curvature of a spine, right? And they said it is really bad. And the child would have to go through all kinds of operations, and that it was very, very severe. And then the child would get a little bit older, they would put her in a full cast and so forth and deal with it. It didn't sound good. Obviously, they were very disappointed. So Rob was praying a lot about it and praying God's direction and God's healing in the situation. And he said one day, he said, I was at their house, and I was in the living room, and Brandy was upstairs, but I had the child, and I had the child in my arms, and I was praying for the child. And as I was praying, all of a sudden, the words came out of my mouth, "Make straight the crooked paths. Make straight the crooked paths." And he said, I thought to myself, man, where did that come from? That must be a word from the Lord. So he began to pray that over the child, "Make straight the crooked paths." And he prayed about that, and the next day he prayed about it, and every day, he said, every single day he prayed about that, and he told others about it, and was just, it went deeper. The more he talked about it, it went deeper into his spirit. And he prayed about it, and prayed about it, and prayed about it. Later on, when it came to the time that the child was to go in to be fitted for a full cast and to be treated for scoliosis, their family doctor said to him just before they took her in, "Tell the doctor that there seems to be something different than before when you take the child into this specialist." And they took the child into this specialist, and they laid the child on the table. And the child laid there real quietly, and they examined the whole thing, went through a whole bunch of examinations, and they come back out and said, "The child is completely healed." Completely healed. Isn't that an awesome story of faith? It's an awesome story of faith. And the thing is, faith in God's word is so powerful. Faith in God's word can set you free. But you must take the word of God, roll it over in your spirit, speak it out over and over and over again. Like Rob did, every day he said he went after that thing. You know, you have to really become serious, have a desire to be set free. I'm telling you, when you've been believing God for a grandchild for a long time, and suddenly you have this report about it, you get pretty serious about praying. But coming before God and praying. And of course, Rob wasn't the only one praying, but there was an awesome sense of God releasing a word. Now, I just want to show you something for a moment here, because the word that God showed Rob was very, very significant. That word spoke. He said, you can make the crooked path straight. And this is where he got that word, of course. He looked at it, to make the crooked places straight shall be made straight and the rough ways smooth. Now, go to the next one. The disease scoliosis, as we mentioned, is a curvature of the spine. When we talk about the curvature of the spine, we look at where the original word came from. And that word crooked there is actually from the same word, scoliosis, in the Greek. It's taken from that very same word. It's amazing. When God gives a word, he knew exactly what word to give. And it seems like when Rob looked it up, faith just abounded because he realized that God had just given the word to speak to the very situation that he was talking about. The word of God is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of God is so powerful. When you get that word, you know, it was a word that was written in Scripture, but it was also spoken to Rob, and he hung on to it until he seen the manifestation come to pass. Now, it took about, I don't know, I'm not sure. I think Rob said it took 6 weeks where he declared it every day. But if it was 6 years, I know Rob would have still hung on to it. Amen. You see, faith never lets go of the promise of God. Faith never lets go of the promise of God. And his word will come to pass if we'll mix it with faith. But it must be mixed with faith. There must be a belief there that it's going to come to pass. Boy, I wish I could really drill this home into our spirits, that the word is so powerful. Charlie, come up here. I'm going to interview you just for a moment, because this is a good example of the word of God. He has no idea what I'm going to ask him here, but I'll just interview him here for a moment. Now, you got a world champion wrestling win. What year?
2003.
In 2003, he was a world champion wrestler. Now, something unique happened that morning. When he got up that morning, I know the story because he told me before, but when I got up that morning, there was something that you sensed, that you had a word from the Lord about that day. What was it?
I just felt that the Lord said that before the day is over, you'll be a champion.
Before the day is over, you'll be a champion. Now, he had that in his spirit. Now, why did he need that word? Why did that word was so pertinent that he heard of at that time? Something happened at the wrestling match that was a bit unusual, and that word came back to him. Tell us what happened, Charlie, at the match.
It was near the end of the day, and we were the last match of the day, and there was 1,200 competitors there from 52 countries around the world. And the second last, well, it was actually supposed to be the last match. It was a Russian opponent, and I pinned him, but my wrist was back, and then we slipped apart. But it was down far enough that I figured it should have been a pin. Well, they called the winner for Russia, and the Russian athlete went off the stage, and his coaches and everything took him away, and I was just like, well, that wasn't supposed to happen. And plus, it wasn't a fair call anyway. The people that were there all started booing the call. And
So because of that word, you thought that wasn't supposed to happen?
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I just stayed at the table, and I got the team captain for Canada to come over, and I said, I want to protest this call, which is kind of a controversial thing when you protest a referee at a world event. Anyway, and you had to pay $150 just to make the protest, and if they ruled against you, you lose that too. And it's like, well, at this level, what's $150? So anyway, we protested, and I told them why. But I stayed at the table, and the referees were trying to get me to move away. As soon as you move away from the table, that call is official, and you're done. So anyway, they come back, and they met with the head referee and four others and the two that were at the table. And they said, yeah, we agree with you. It wasn't a good call. And we're going to give you a foul because they slipped apart because your wrist was back. But you get a rematch.
Okay. That is so important for us to realize that this went on because of the word that he had that morning, that he would be a champion that day. Think about that for a moment. When we get a word from the Lord, it is so important to hang on to it. So what happened after when the rematch took place?
And then we had a rematch, and we hooked up, and then we slipped apart. So then they strapped us together, and then he elbow fouled, and then they strapped us together again, and then I elbow fouled. And then in each match was like a minute long, which is an eternity in arm wrestling, because it's not just your arm, it's your whole body. And anyway, the final and last match, I ended up beating him. And
you became world champion. Thanks, Early. Now, he got the word from the Lord. He stayed with it. And the word of the Lord was actual fact, the very truth of what God wanted to do that day. But what would have happened if, soon as that first call came, the other guy stepped down, he was the champion, Charlie would have just sunk and just kind of put his hands in his pocket and his head down, walked off the podium. He wouldn't have come home champion. The word wouldn't have came through, would it? But Charlie mixed faith with the word of God at that particular time, and the word of God was fulfilled. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it tells us that the children of Israel, when they walked through the desert, that they heard the word, but they did not mix. It was of no value to them because they did not mix it with faith. Faith has to be involved. And you and I have a position to mix faith with the word of God and see the word of God coming to pass. If we do not mix faith with it, the word of God will be of no value. But you and I have the faith of God residing on the inside of us. When we read a word, when we hear the word, we couple it, we take it by faith and run with it and see it come to pass. What a position you and I have in Christ this morning. Now, I want you to think about exercising your faith when it comes to healing for your body. I want you to think about exercising your faith when it comes being connected and belonging to the body. And run with it. Run with the word of the Lord that declares, by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am made whole. I am delivered. That the tactics of the enemy is held off by my faith. My faith is a shield around me to stop all the fiery darts of the wicked one. We must decree and declare the word of God over our lives if it is going to be activated and manifested in our lives, if it's going to come to pass in our lives. You see your position this morning? You see you have a place in this whole faith business. You have a position to be able to declare the word of God and see it come to pass in Jesus' name. Just the same as Rob stood in faith, believing for his granddaughter to be totally healed and the miraculous happened. Just as Charlie took that word and stood in faith, believing that God's word was true and that he heard it. But that takes faith. Amen. Praise God. Well, stand with me, please. We'll finish up. Thank you, Lord. Name. I thank you for the miracle. I thank you. Can you just stay with me just for another minute? Just for another minute, just stay with me. I just feel that there's something else that the Lord desires to release. Just stay with me for another minute because the word is so powerful. The word is so powerful. The word of God is so powerful that we have to give him time to speak. Do you know that? We have to read asuto barasite, lombondoshite keke sende la babasanda, lindaboroshite, leboroshite, su barasinde, Sit, let me speak to you, says the Lord. Let my words come to you. Let my words be imparted to you. Allow my words to seek into you. Allow my words to go deep down within your spirit, because as they go deep down within your spirit, they will take root and faith will arise. Faith will come forth and begin to produce the fruit that you desire for your life. But not only for your life, declares the Lord, for I have chosen you to stand in the gap, even for me. Stand in the gap for the Lord to be able to minister to the people who are lost and without hope. For I have come to set the captive free. Many of you have been held captive by the enemy, but because I have come, you have found a new place of freedom. It is my desire that you thrive in the things of God. It is my desire that you thrive in the anointing of Jesus, because as you do, you will find those before you who need a touch from my spirit, and my spirit, coupled with my word, will release the captives into a place of freedom today, says the Lord. Take time to listen to my words, for I have many things to say to you. And if you will listen, the voice of the Lord will be heard and released amongst you in the name of the Lord Jesus.